Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You've been listening to him for the past 53 years.
High drive, left center. Davis to the wall, and gone, Perez.
He's the voice of Royals baseball in Kansas City.
Benintendi jumps, and he caught it right up against the side wall.
And he joins The Drive every Monday at 3 o'clock. Here's the Hall of Famer, Denny Matthews.
All right, back in on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the brand-new Odyssey app. Coming up in a bit, I'll continue to review 80s movies that I've never seen before. But right now, let's head to the phone lines right now and be joined by one of my favorite guests of the week. He is the Hall of Fame voice of the Kansas City Royals. Denny Matthews joins us on the show today. Denny, how's it going?
Hi, Carrington.
Denny, I've been watching 80s movies here over the last couple of weeks, movies I haven't seen before. I just watched Princess Bride today for the first time. What are some of your favorite movies from the 80s?
Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. That was the 70s, I think, but... It was good enough to go into the 80s. That's probably my favorite one.
I don't think I've ever asked you about baseball movies. What are some baseball movies that you really like?
Oh, The Natural's good. Major League is good. There's a bunch of those that are pretty well done. But you think back to some of the older movies, the Babe Ruth story and Lou Gehrig, and those were not done quite as well as the more modern movies, but instructive nonetheless and interesting. I think Gary Cooper played Lou Gehrig, William Bendix played Babe Ruth, and William Bendix didn't look any more like Babe Ruth than I do, but they made it work.
Denny, it pains me to ask you this question because we talked about this player in a Royals uniform for some time, but I feel like we are at the end with Wade Davis. He has had a storied career. He should go straight into the Royals Hall of Fame. I wouldn't mind if they put his picture in the Royals Hall of Fame right next to your picture in the Royals Hall of Fame. But in terms of him,
I wouldn't mind that either. That'd be pretty good. But, it's been a struggle. And I wonder if he's 100%. And, of course, they have the option of putting him on the list and then maybe doing a rehab in AAA. That's an option. But, it's no secret that it's really been a tough go for him.
So what do you do if you're the Royals? Because obviously he's a fan favorite. You know the history he has with this organization. I'm sure that Dayton is very fond of him. What do you do? Because they've tried to kind of move away from putting him in high-leverage situations, but you don't even trust him in low-leverage situations at this point. What exactly do you do with a player like Wade Davis, given his history with the organization?
Yeah, well, I mentioned just a second ago that you've got one option there. You can. Well, first of all, is he 100%? And then you have to determine that. If so, put him in AAA, see if he can work something out. If not, you're pretty much out of options. But that's kind of where I'd go. That'd be the path that I would take.
Right now we're talking to the Hall of Fame voice of the Kansas City Royals, Denny Matthews. Speaking of Hall of Fame, Salvador Perez right now is leading catchers once again at his position. Do you think there's a chance that one day Salvi is with you in the Pro Baseball Hall of Fame?
Possible. He's going to have to play a few more years and productively. But, he's headed in that direction. Now, can he sustain it? And that'd be the big question. But right now he's on the outside looking in, but he's still got a ways to go, hopefully, if he can stay healthy, put together some good years, some good productive years over the next four or five. Well, I'd say he has a legit shot.
I just look at his position and the dominance that he's had in the position. I'm with you in terms of longevity. I understand the importance of it. But we're talking about a guy who has been one of the three best players at his position now for 7-8 years at this point. He's getting real close to that, almost having a strong decade of dominance at the catcher position, which, as you know, Denny, is a really hard position to dominate.
Oh, without question. It's two jobs, really. It's offense and defense. And you really, to be good at that position, you have to separate the two. And if you have a catcher who's very good defensively, understands the pitching staff, and contributes offensively, why, you've really got a gold mine. And I think historically, catchers who have good offensive abilities and good offensive numbers, they're always slacking off in the second half of the season, and that's understandable. And that's where it's really tough. And to sustain that from, let's say, the All-Star break until the end of the season is pretty difficult, because you get the daylight speed out of you back there, and all you have to do is ask Mike Matheny about that. But, yeah, it's a tough job. That's why a lot of people would rather pitch or rather play the infield or outfield. But, yeah, catching, if you're good at that position, why, you're gold, and you're going to have a spot on a Major League Baseball team.
Talking about toughness in kind of keeping that level of excellence, Whit Merrifield isn't having the same typical season that he's had. Is that just the ebbs and flows of baseball? Are you noticing something? What's going on with Whit?
Yeah, I think you're right. Ebbs and flows of baseball, and that's the game. He's still good. He still works hard. But guys are going to have off years, let's say an off year meaning from their normal numbers. But, yeah, it's a tough go, too, because once you get into the middle of the season, like if you're hitting, let's say, 246, well, it's very difficult. It takes a long time, and you have to be good for quite some time to get your average, let's say, up to 290, 295. And the averages fluctuate so much in the first 6 weeks, but now they're at that point where if you're at a number, why, it's going to take a while to move it one way or the other.
Right now we're talking to the Hall of Fame voice of the Kansas City Royals, Denny Matthews, here for a couple of more minutes. Jackson Kowar started this weekend. The start didn't really go as people would anticipate. He's had a couple of rough outings so far. I was reading a story a couple of days ago, and it said right now the gap between AAA and majors is maybe the widest gap that it's ever seen before, because of everything that's happened over the last year and a half, and just minor league baseball hasn't been normal. What are you seeing with these young pitchers that are coming up and having and struggling early on?
Well, and it's not unusual for that to happen. Every once in a while, you get a guy that comes to the big leagues. Usually his first, maybe second outing are pretty good, and then the league catches up. But if you start out poorly, why, you only have one way to go. But the ability is there. His maybe mental approach hasn't quite caught up to his physical ability. And once it all blends together, then you've got a viable big league pitcher. So and everybody's timetable is different. I've been saying that forever. Some guys get to the big leagues and they make an impact right away and they keep getting better. Some guys get to the big leagues, they find that they're in over their heads, they go back to the minor leagues. We've got a long list of Royals players who have that happen to them. Let's start with George Brett. Let's go to Moustakas. Let's go to Alex Gordon. And they all hit rough spots early and went to the minor leagues, corrected, got more confidence, came back to the big leagues, and they were on their way. So, yeah, it happens a lot, and I'm not alarmed by it because you see the physical ability is there.
Denny, it's funny you say that. We had a guest on a couple of days ago, and we were talking about Whit Jr. and Jackson Kowar and Nick Prado and all of the young guys who were coming up, and he made the very obvious point about Mike Trout. Like, Mike Trout even struggled the first time that he came up in the majors. And then obviously he went down, he came back, and he's become one of the greatest players in the history of baseball. What's happening with Jackson Kowar and Brady Singer and some of these guys? Daniel Lynch probably is a better example. It's not that unique for you to struggle whenever you come up finally to the big leagues.
No, and you pointed out that there's more of a difference now between the minor leagues, specifically AA and AAA, and the big leagues. So, yeah, why would you expect somebody just to come up and shoot lights out right away and just keep taking off from there? It's an adjustment. It's a huge adjustment because now you're competing against the best players in the world, and you got to find your way. You got to prove to yourself, first and foremost, you prove to yourself that you can play on that level. Then you have to identify for yourself what type of player you are and how you can contribute to the team. And once you do that, once you're accepted by your teammates, the manager, and everybody else involved, then you're a big leaguer. And then you work hard to keep getting better and better. And if you get better, the team gets better. One of three things happens when a player gets to the big leagues, right? He gets better, he gets worse, or he stays the same. Well, two of the three aren't going to help you too much individually or team-wise. But if you got a player who has great ability, gets to the big league, settles in, is accepted, gets better and better, why, then he's on his way and so is the team.
Denny, I've talked enough baseball with you to know that one of your sayings is sometimes it's not who you play, but when you play them. That sometimes you just catch a team at a right time and the momentum is in your favor, and it doesn't matter the scenarios, you're going to play well. I kind of feel like every time the Royals play the Tigers, that's a series that they should win. This should be a team that they're further along in the process than. This is a team I think they have more talent than. I expect every time the Royals and Tigers match up, that's a series I hold the Royals in. This is a series that they should win.
I think that's fair, and you're right. It's who you play, but how are they playing when you play them? And how are you playing when you play them? So all that adds up to who's going to win the series. But you're right. I think there's teams that the Royals should be able to handle, and I think Detroit is one of them.
That is the Hall of Fame voice of the Kansas City Royals, Denny Matthews, joining us on the show today. Denny, always good talking baseball with you. I appreciate you hopping on with us.
Glad to do it, Carrington. Look forward to next week.
Always an honor to get a chance to catch up and talk some baseball with the Hall of Fame voice of the Royals, Denny Matthews. If you missed it, the breaking news right now, Andrew Benintendi has been placed on the IL. He is out for the next 10 days. Andrew Benintendi out. Edward Olivares called up. Coming up next, earlier today, I watched The Princess Bride as we continue watching 80s movies that I've never seen before. I'll give you my review of Princess Bride. We'll also pick the next movie on our trip down memory lane. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need.
Marketing wizards?
Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back into The Drive on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Back in on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the brand new Odyssey app. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll talk about Wade Davis. Now, if I know this and you know this and Rob knows this, I don't know why the Royals continue to do what they are doing, but we'll talk about Wade Davis here coming up at the bottom of the hour. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the brand new Odyssey app. So if you have missed it, over the last couple of weeks, we have been going through 80s movies. So every show in June for the rest of the month, I will go through a different 80s movie that I have not seen before. So we have gone through Top Gun. I gave Top Gun an 8.5. I really enjoyed the movie. We went through Vacation. I was not a big fan of that movie. I gave it a 4.5. You guys gave me the assignment over the weekend to go through another 80s movie. I picked Princess Bride. Some of you were saying, hey, I don't know if that's a movie you're going to like, but we're happy that you're going to give it a try. Well, I watched it this morning. I believe I watched it on Hulu. It's also on Disney Plus if you want to check it out for yourself. I liked Princess Bride. I thought it was a very fun and unique story. I do think the movie was a little bit uneven. I thought the first half of it was really good. Like the way it set the movie up with the grandpa coming in there and talking to young Fred Savage and starting with reading him a story, I thought that was really cool. I really, really liked it for the first hour. I thought the second half was a little bit slow and didn't have nearly the punch that the first half of the movie had, but the first half was really good. Now, maybe you guys do this all the time now, but when I see people in these movies,
I'm like, oh, that's the guy from X, Y, and Z, like the little guy. I was like, oh, that's the teacher from Clueless. I was like, oh, I know who this guy is. So there were actually a lot of people in this movie that I had seen before. Correct me if I'm wrong. The main character, Wesley, that's the guy from Saw, right? The very first Saw movie, that's the guy from Saw.
And he's the love, I guess, I don't know how to phrase it. In Liar Liar, he's what would become the stepdad.
Oh, he's Jerry. Yeah. He's Jerry. Yeah, no, he's Jerry. Okay, I didn't recognize him from that. So that's, I'm happy you told me that. I actually didn't recognize him from that. But I was like, oh, yeah, that's the guy from Saw. Robin Wright was a baddie back in the day. Was a baddie. Maybe I've never really seen it with Robin Wright because I hate Jenny so much. Like, I hate Jenny from Forrest Gump with such a passion that I've never been able to, like, see her as anybody other than Jenny. So it was kind of cool to see her before Jenny, because my only frame of reference for Robin Wright is Forrest Gump, House of Cards, and then she's in Wonder Woman. I'm sure she's in other things, but when I think of Robin Wright, those are the things that first come to mind. Like, I think of her as Jenny first, and then I think of her as Claire Underwood. So then seeing her in this role way before she's in Forrest Gump was actually really cool. I liked Andre the Giant's character. I really liked the first half of the movie. I was thinking this, though, during the first half of the movie. If you're Andre the Giant, why are you letting that little shrimp talk to you the way that he was talking to you? I liked the whole inconceivable bit that they were doing for the first 30 minutes was actually really funny. And then I believe it was Pablo Montoya told him, I don't think that means what you think it means. Cause like he just kept saying it after everything. And I'm like, yeah, you've been wrong for the last 25 minutes. Quit telling me it's inconceivable. It's very conceivable that that's the case. I do want to ask this question. The same way we were joking about Mrs. Doubtfire and how could you not tell that was your dad that's just dressed up as an old nanny. If that's the love of your life, how did you not know that was him? In a Zorro mask. You guys are so connected at the heart, and you love him, and he loves you. I knew that's who it was. She didn't know that was him. It reminds me of that scene in The Dark Knight, you know, where the guy can't tell that it's the Joker, and then he takes the mask off, and then he just reacts like, you couldn't tell that was the Joker under there until he took the mask off. That part made me laugh. I thought the first hour was really smart. I liked the boat scene when they, so the first time he says inconceivable, the first time we see that she's getting kidnapped, right? When she's out riding her horse. And then the boat's coming off in the distance. And then I love the rope scene where Andre the Giant's like climbing up the rope and he's like, he's gaining on it. He's like, well, I'm carrying three people and I also weigh 400 pounds myself. I can see how this one guy's moving really fast. I thought the sword fight was really fun. Like they're back and forth and the whole thing where he was like gonna let him up there and he promised that he wouldn't kill him before he got up there. And then they were talking, they were like reminiscing and then he didn't end up killing him and then he's hitting him in the head. I thought that was really good. I was trying to figure out how Andre the Giant lost to Rey Mysterio in a fight. Like, this little dude just beat Andre the Giant up in a fight. The best scene was the wine scene, though. The wine scene is an incredible movie scene. It was also pretty clear, like, once the guy turned his head, like, he turned his head because he clearly outsmarted you and you were going to drink from that cup and you were going to die. Like, that was pretty funny, though. I really liked that scene. I thought that was by far the best scene. I wrote down some notes. Why was she not tied up in the boat? You went through this whole thing to kidnap this princess, and she just was sitting on the boat. She wasn't tied up. She could just swim free. Now, I will say the 80s special effects were very clear here. The eels, now looking at the eels, look terrible. And those little rodent things, like, you know me. If you listen to the show, I got a mice phobia. These giant shredder rats were just, they looked bad today. I'm sure they looked cool back in 1986 or 87, whenever this movie came out. But those rats looked really bad today. To my point, though, about the second one, I actually thought the movie kind of took a little bit of a dip after Robin Wright made the choice where it was like, well, don't kill him. What if I agree to go with you? Will you not kill him and I'll give him the ships and all that kind of stuff? I thought that's when the movie kind of took a turn, and I don't think the second half was nearly as exciting as the first half was. It was a cool story, though. I did enjoy the movie. I would give Princess Bride probably a 7.5. I really liked it. I actually would give it a lot higher score because I would say the first half of the movie I liked more than I liked Top Gun in the very beginning. Like, I was, like, really into the story for the first hour of it. But you remember, Top Gun then took a crazy shift for me, and I really loved the last 30 minutes where I didn't really love the last 30 minutes of this movie. So I would still say Top Gun's the best movie I've seen so far. Like, I would go watch Top Gun again. I would actually watch this movie again, too. So I'd rank Princess Bride a 7.5. I did come away happy that I watched Princess Bride, and I was thinking to myself, why did it take me so long to watch this movie as I was watching? Like, this is really good. I like this movie.
I'm happy you enjoyed it. I was worried that it's a little bit campy at times. I mean, that's what it is, a little bit cheesy, a little bit corny, but it's fun, cheesy, and corny. I was worried that the 80s nostalgia of seeing it then wouldn't have hit you the same way. I'm happy you enjoyed it, but I kind of agree with you. For me, basically once I think they, like, revive the guy and Billy Crystal's character is, like, giving him all the, you know, potions and things. He comes back to life. Basically, from that moment on, I kind of don't remember what happens at the end of the movie. It doesn't have a great, like, finale, but it is so funny for such a long time. It's a great film. I'm very happy you enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, I did. I was a big fan. I was a huge fan of it. Someone said the best scene is the fight between Pablo Montoya and the six-fingered man. That was a really good scene. I enjoyed that scene, too. That, to me, was the highlight of the second half of the movie. Like, you're right. The movie does kind of take that split. I thought the scene with Billy Crystal was fine. I didn't love it. It was fine, though. Like, it wasn't something I hated. Like, I loved the scenes in the beginning. I liked most of the scenes in the second half of the movie. What I'm learning in this whole thing is, especially in a movie like Vacation, that is, like, I didn't really see this as much as a comedy as much as it maybe is. I mean, I know it was, like, comedic and it was funny and all this kind of stuff. Like, Vacation is more like, do you find this kind of humor funny? And it just didn't really do it for me. If it does it for you, that's perfectly fine. But I wasn't a big fan of Vacation. This was good. As long as we stay in this lane, like, it had the right amount of 80s. It had humor that I think really held up and is still the test of time. This is the kind of the lane I want to be in here. So I don't know what movie is going to be next on the list that you guys have for me to watch. And Rob will give you the list here coming up really shortly. But you know what? Princess Bride was strong. Now, I would be really curious if they tried to remake that movie, how they could do it. Like, I don't know if it could really hold some of the whimsical nature of the original movie, but I would like to see them try to remake that movie. But I give it a 2 thumbs up. If I was doing the Sean Edwards popcorn bags, I'd give that movie 3.5 popcorn bags. I thought that was a very strong watch.
Let's pivot now to what you have left on our list. Text lining up at You in Charge again.
Text line's very upset that I keep calling him Pablo Montoya when his name is
Juan Pablo Montoya, right?
Ingo. That man's been, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Here's the rest of the list.
Hey, man, I've watched the movie.
You still have Back to the Future.
Okay.
Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back, Ghostbusters, E.T., Uncle Buck, Weekend at Bernie's, Airplane, Fletch, When Harry Met Sally, Fast Times, Ridgemont High, St. Elmo's Fire, The Goonies, and Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
If I had to pick my own movie, I would pick Goonies next. That's the movie I'd pick. I'd pick Goonies. I don't know what the text line thinks about that, but I would pick Goonies. We'll let you guys pick 913-576-7610, but I would pick Goonies. I'm learning what, now in this process, I'm learning. All of our sense of humor is just different. Like, a lot of the comedies you guys suggest, I just don't think is very funny.
Yeah, but you like this. I would consider Princess Bride a comedy.
Yeah, I thought it was smart humor, though. Like, I don't think Vacation was a very smart movie.
No, they're very different styles of humor.
I don't think it was very smart.
But I would call this a comedy, and you enjoyed it, so that counts as a comedy you enjoyed.
Yeah, I also just think comedy is one of those things that just, like, changes. So, like, things that were very funny in maybe, like, 85 just aren't really funny in 2021. Now, some movies can stand the test of time. I don't really think that was a movie that really stood the test of time. But Princess Bride was good. Right now, I would say the two most popular movies is Goonies and Back to the Future. Those are the two most popular ones right now on the text line. It's Goonies or Back to the Future. So, Rob, which one would you pick? Let me know on the other side. Let me know on the other side between Goonies and Back to the Future. And tomorrow, same time, I'll watch another 80s movie and I'll give you my review. Some of these movies I might have to like overrule, like Uncle Buck. I'm a little bit worried now after vacation. Is that a movie that I'm going to spend my time watching? Like, y'all lied to me about that movie. Y'all might be lying to me about this movie, but I'll watch either Goonies or Back to the Future. Let me know between those two which one you think I should watch, and we'll get to it tomorrow. Coming up on the other side, Wade Davis is washed. I don't know why we continue to deny it, why we continue to lie to one another, but Wade Davis is absolutely washed. We'll get to it next. Keep it locked right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive. Weekdays 2 to 6.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio.
All right, the National Cash Contest code word is Rewind, R-E-W-I-N-D. Rewind, R-E-W-I-N-D, Rewind. Text that to 72881, Rewind. Text that to 72881, and you could be the $1,000 winner in the National Cash Contest. The National Cash Contest is powered by BetQL. Win more and cash in with the help of BetQL. Download the BetQL app today to learn more. That's BetQL. Text Rewind, R-E-W-I-N-D, to 72881. Rob, I would say that Back to the Future was the winner. Looking at the text line, I think more people over the break texted in to watch Back to the Future than texted in to watch Goonies. So I will watch Back to the Future tonight, and I will give my review of Back to the Future tomorrow at 3:15 on this fine radio program. Do you think I'll like Back to the Future? I've always heard a lot about it, but I've never seen it before.
I'm fascinated by your review tomorrow because I like Back to the Future, and it's good, but it's, I don't know, it's held up to the test of time the way a lot of people think it has. Like, I think the plot has a lot of holes in 2021. So I'm interested to see your review of it tomorrow. I don't think you'll dislike it, but I could see you having issues with the fact that the plot does not hold up 40 years later.
Okay. All right. Well, tomorrow I will go back and I will give you a review of Back to the Future. I am watching 80s movies and giving my reviews. So let's just do this. We'll do Back to the Future tomorrow. We'll do Goonies for Wednesday. So that way we got the next 2 days knocked off, and then we'll come back on Thursday because we got a day game.
Yeah, we got a day game Wednesday, so if you want to take Wednesday off and then do one Thursday.
I'll still watch. I don't mind watching it.
Yeah, but the review won't be at 3:15 on Wednesday. The Royals will be on the air.
It's going to be tough. I might just chime in on the fourth inning and be like, coming up next, we'll get back to the bottom of the third inning, but Carrington has a review of Goonies, and then I'll just give my review. That might be how it goes.
Just text Denny. Get it lined up.
I'll work on it. Rob, now, I hate to give you this because you don't really deserve it, but you were right about Wade Davis. This is now the third time we've had this conversation. You admitted this the first week of the season and said that you thought Wade was done. It took me maybe a couple of weeks later. You remember it was a few weeks ago. They had the off day on a Monday. It was in May. They had an off day on Monday. And then we thought that, all right, this is the end. Like tomorrow when they come back, they're going to announce that they FA'd Wade Davis. And then the more we keep hearing from Vern keeps saying, what options do they have? What options do they have? What options do they have? All right, well, Wade Davis is not a guy that you trust in any scenario. He's not a guy who you trust in a 3-2 ball game in the eighth inning. He's also not a guy that you trust in blowout situations. To quote Office Space, what exactly do you do here? What's your job? We all love Wade Davis. I told Denny, tomorrow if they announced that they were putting Wade Davis into the Hall of Fame and he could skip the line, I wouldn't object to that. Wade Davis is one of the most important people in the history of the Kansas City Royals. He has had a dynamic career, fantastic career with this organization. But it's over. We all know that it's over. We all know this. What are we doing? There's nobody in AAA or AA that can come up here and provide more value than what we've seen from Wade Davis. I refuse to believe that to be the case. So I do wonder how many times we'll find ourselves in this exact same place with Wade Davis before the organization just simply, it's over. Thank you. Thank you for what you've done. We'll pay you out the rest of the season. We'll give you a day in which it's Wade Davis Day and come here. And I hope people go out there and give him the applause that he's certainly deserving of, but he's not helping this team. Like, this team still has a chance to finish at 500. I don't know how they can do it with so many small things that eventually add up to really big things. Like, look at the five through nine in today's lineup. Dozier, Gutierrez, Olivares, Alberto, Michael A. Taylor. That's bad. I know injuries have really taken its toll on this team, and that's why they find themselves where they are when it comes to the lineup. But, I mean, this is a nasty 4-9. Soler, Dozier, Gutierrez, Olivares, Alberto, Taylor. So right now I would say your 4-9 is a wasteland, and you don't trust every member of your bullpen. You also can't get consistent quality starts from the guys in your rotation. It's a lot against this team right now, Rob, as they try to scratch and claw back to 500.
Yeah, and I do feel bad because we've talked about it before. Wade Davis is not only going to be in the Royals Hall of Fame, he might get his number retired because you could argue his role on that team was as good as anyone else's, and you could also argue for a stretch in baseball, he was the absolute best at his position in the sport. So this is not, for me, you know, taking a shot at Wade Davis or anything like that or anything of that nature, but it's over. And I told you in the first week of the season, because I think it was Greg Holland who had a struggle in the first week. And you said, is it over for Greg Holland? And I said, I'm not worried about Greg Holland. It's over for Wade Davis. It's not there. There's no velocity. It's gone. And I felt bad saying it then. And I was maybe early to the party, but it's definitely true now. And I forget who it is on the text line. Someone texts in every day and says, this team can still get to 90 wins. You guys are haters. This team's not getting the 90 wins. That's first and foremost. We're not haters. We're realists. Secondarily, if you believe this team can be above 500, maybe not 90 wins, but just above 500, you can't carry a guy on the roster whose ERA is 8. And it's not even like a fraudulent 8, like he's only pitched 3 times and had 1 bad outing. It's 8, and he's pitched a pretty substantial amount. He's come in, 20 games this season? And it's just hemorrhaging runs every time he comes in. And I know Vern's always like, well, what are you doing his spot? And does it really matter if he comes in and makes in blowout losses and makes them worse? It does matter, because if you bring Wade Davis in and the whole team groans and knows, well, we've lost. Our white flag's on the mound. It's a mental problem. So congrats to Wade Davis. He's had a great Royals career. He'll be in the Royals Ring of Honor, Hall of Fame, whatever. but he can't be on the roster on Thursday. That's the next off day. He's got to be DFA'd. And it can be Tyler Zuber. It can be Jake Junis. There's the kid from, I think, Warrensburg, went to UCM, Grant Garvin. I don't really care who the replacement is at this point, because I have a hard time believing it's any worse than Wade Davis.
Coming up in a little bit, we'll get back to the Kansas City Royals. We'll talk about Salvador Perez, sort of his place in Royals history. Also, the chances of him making a Hall of Fame just continue to grow with each season as he continues to gain more and more accolades. But Rob, if you can give me some funky music right here, I want to read you guys a story that I think is of great national importance. The Girl Scouts have an unusual problem this year. They have 15 million boxes. 15 million boxes of unsold cookies. They're saying because of the pandemic and the coronavirus, and kids aren't going out there doing the hand-to-hand sales that they normally do, they're having a tough time selling these cookies. But Rob, I don't know about you. My appetite for cookies have not changed with the pandemic. If you want to unload some of this merchandise, you know what you need to start doing? Deals. Go right now on the Girl Scout website and start giving out some 2-for-1, 3-for-1 deals and see if some of these won't come off your hands. You telling me that you won't pick up a 2-for-1 peanut butter patty? You're telling me the Samoas, you won't get a 3-for-1 deal? I'd be going ham on Girl Scout cookies if those were the case. Right now, you have an incredible surplus. I'm willing to help you meet that demand. I'm willing to help you unload some of that supply. The Girl Scouts got to start throwing deals out here for the culture. You got to start throwing some deals out here, slashing sales, cutting back prices, and I guarantee you, you'll move through those. So they say that the cookies only have a 12-month shelf life. You don't want to throw all these cookies away. Start cutting out deals.
The coronavirus has taught us a lot of things. One thing it forced people to do across all industries was innovate. Be different, be new, be exciting, be something different. You can't go post up in front of Walmart anymore, Girl Scouts. I'm sorry, that's the way the world works. Get your website together and get these cookies sold.
Yes!
Do some fun stuff. Hey, you know what? We have a ton of, you know, whatever the lemon one is, lemon shortbread. If you buy 5 boxes of peanut butter patties, you get a free lemon shortbread. Whatever the deal you gotta strike is, I don't care what it is. But you can't let these cookies go to waste.
No, why would you waste these cookies? They're delicious cookies. How could you just sit here and let these cookies go to waste? Now, I do have a question. Are Girl Scout cookies overrated, underrated, or properly rated? I only really love one kind. I like some of the other ones, but I mean like love. Like I could just sit there and watch TV and just eat a whole box of them. The Samoas are so fire to me. Just an incredible cookie. I don't like Thin Mints is because I don't really like mints. I don't like your mint chocolate chip. I don't like your mint cookies. I'm cool on the mint. But I love the Samoa cookies. I think the Girl Scout cookies are properly rated. I do think there's better cookies out there. But they're just hard to get. So, yeah, I think they're properly rated.
First off, the correct answer for best Girl Scout cookie is peanut butter patty. I can wolf down a couple sleeves of those, no issue. 2, Girl Scout cookies are overrated. Here's why. Textline's going to cook me because I know it goes to charity or it's a fundraiser or whatever for the Girl Scouts. But these cookies, they're fine, they're good, they're not great, but they're fine cookies. They're probably, if they were in the store, what, $3.99 cookies? Maybe $4 cookies? They're like marked up at 100% of their actual value. One box, like what, 10 bucks? The only reason people buy Girl Scout cookies, not the cookie itself, is because a cute little girl says, hey, do you want some cookies? And you get guilted into it because you feel bad being like, no. If these were just on the shelves and Girl Scouts weren't selling them from a Walmart or on their website or whatever the term or wherever they sell them, if it was Chip Ahoy, Oreos, and Girl Scout cookies, no person would buy the Girl Scout cookies. They would buy Chip Ahoy or Oreos 100% of the time. So they are wildly overrated as far as quality of cookie and comically overpriced. Girl Scout cookies, overrated.
That concludes our cookie portion of today's show. Someone on the text line says, COVID has taught us the seed out is still cheap. This is a fundraiser. There ain't no money in unsold cookies. They got 15 million boxes of these bad boys. They got them piled to the ceiling. I'm trying to help sell them. I want to buy some of the cookies from the people. I mean, they still running a business here. I want the little girls to go on their little trips and have fun. They ain't doing nothing with all the money eating cookies. I'm here offering up suggestions. Somebody said sell them outside dispensaries. Problem solved. I don't know if they're letting them sell them. I think that's the issue is they're not letting them sell them in the way that they were selling them before. So I think that's what created this huge problem. Like, people aren't at work the way that they used to be. Because, you know, we've all got those emails from the job. Hey, my niece or my daughter is selling these cookies. You buy the cookies. You then show up. And then Ann down in sales is out here passing out cookies. We're not doing that as much anymore. So you got to come up with something. So get these uneaten cookies off real quick. Do some deals on these cookies. And then next year, come up with a new strategy. But they're going to throw these cookies away here in a couple of months. They're going to be throwing away a lot of funds they could be raising for the young boys and girls out here to go out and have their little fun on the trips. I'm here to help them. I'm out here to help these kids. Coming up in a little bit, we'll talk about Salvador Perez. Salvador Perez just continues to just be absolutely amazing. So Everybody Hates Le'Veon Bell. He is actually starting his own show. It's going to be a spinoff from Everybody Hates Chris. It's not going to be Everybody Hates Le'Veon Bell. Mike DeVito was on Fesco in the morning earlier today. He doesn't get what Le'Veon Bell was even talking about.
I feel like if you're going to make that claim, you better against somebody like Andy Reid and the sort of the resume and the person that he is and what everybody says about him. And like you said, the history of players that would die to be on his team and the guys that were on his team talking about how incredible it was to be a part of, you know, an Andy Reid team and have him as a coach. If you're going to go on record and say something like that, tell us what was said. You know, tell us why you feel like that, you feel that way, because it goes so contrary to everything that everybody has ever said about Coach Reid. That's why I thought it was important to get out there and say, look, I'd come out of retirement to go back to play for Coach Reid. I mean, he's just, and I, you know, being in the NFL for 9 years, you see different coaches, you've been on different teams, and I've never seen anybody run a program, an organization the way he does, where he has a great balance of, you know, balancing the business side of football, which we all recognize and we all know is part of the game, with the personal side, where it's like he's going to go to bat for every player that you know, comes onto his roster, whether it be your rookie free agent who doesn't make the team at the end of August, right? He goes to bat for those guys, and he'll call up other teams and tell them, hey, this guy's got talent. This guy can do it. And so to all of his veterans, I mean, he's just a guy that, you know, knows it's a business, but also cares about his players. And so when you see a comment like that, it's really, I'm just curious to hear what exactly was said that made Bell so upset.
Now, I don't think that Bell and or Reid are ever going to tell us what happened in their relationship and the conversation. This just seems fairly obvious what happened. It also is, now, I've talked to Mike DeVito a couple of times. I've never talked to Le'Veon Bell, but I can just, from my limited interaction with Mike DeVito, he seems somebody who's very realistic about who he is in the NFL and what his role is in the NFL. If you're Le'Veon Bell, and at one point you were the best at your position, and you went to a really bad situation with the Jets, maybe you were just chasing the money and it was, hey, maybe this isn't the best, but I'll make it work, but I got to try to get this paper. But you went to the Jets, and it was a miserable experience. So now when you got a chance to go back and quote-unquote do it right, and Andy Reid is the one that comes to you and tells you, hey, I can help revitalize your career. Hey, come sign up for Kansas City. We'll get you a ring. You can play in this offense. Look at what I've done for X, Y, and Z. You buy into that, and then X, Y, and Z doesn't happen for you. I can't understand why you feel away. Was it communicated in the most productive way? No. In fact, I think it was kind of corny what he did, to be completely honest with you about it. Like, I'd rather retire than play for Andy Reid. Like, all right, like, if you got issue with that, man, take that up on your time, not on social media. Like, I didn't really like that part of it, but I think the big difference is
Le'Veon still looks at himself as a productive NFL player, even though I think nature is telling us you aren't. The hardest thing for people to do is be honest with themselves and whatever it is. How many times have you been riding around with your wife and you're lost? And instead of just admitting to her that you're lost, you try to rationalize with yourself that you're not lost. You could save 25 minutes of your time by simply just admitting it, turn the GPS on and figure it out. But no, your pride won't let you. Le'Veon Bell's pride won't let him admit that it's over. Le'Veon Bell will never be a productive running back in the NFL again. That is not an Andy Reid problem. That's not a Chiefs problem, a Bieniemy problem, and the offense problem. It's just, it's over. Sometimes I don't know if there's necessarily someone to blame. I don't know if Le'Veon Bell was somebody that got quote-unquote fat and happy off of the deal and then stopped working hard. I think he got in a really bad situation. And Therese used to always say that if you're running back, you only got so many hits left in your body. It kind of reminds me, Rob, what happened to Devontae Freeman. Remember Devontae Freeman was really good with the Falcons, and then just we woke up and it was just over with Devontae Freeman. And now, I mean, he's still in the league. He played for the Giants last year, but Devontae Freeman has no more value in the league. Like, he just doesn't. That's what happened to Le'Veon Bell. So maybe Le'Veon signs with somebody this year. I'm sure some team will sign on Le'Veon Bell. Like, I remember seeing Carlos Hyde with the Chiefs back in training camp and thought, he has nothing left in the tank. And he had something in the tank for like six more games for the Houston Texans. It was then over for him. The same thing could happen to Le'Veon Bell, but in terms of him being a number one, or even I would say a strong number two running back in the league, like, he can't even be Gus Edwards at this point in his career. It's done. It's over. You've made good money in the league. You like to rap. You have other interests. Go do those. Go do a podcast or something. But you're just not going to be a productive player in the NFL. And that's not Andy Reid's fault. It's just life. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll talk about Salvador Perez, who continues to make more and more of a case to go into the Pro Baseball Hall of Fame. That's next. Keep it locked right here. It's The Drive.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.